This is FNX.
This is FNX.
Wrestling fans rejoice, for the Doctor is in. Welcome to Slamcast with your host, Dr. Nick.
Broadcasting here exclusively on the FNX network.
And now, Dr. Nick.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Nick, and welcome back to the newest episode of Slamcast. Now, I promise those who have seen the post on the Slamcast Facebook page, for those who haven't, today is going to be a rather controversial episode. A lot of my opinions may be unpopular. They may be, in other people's eyes, wrong. But this is my opinion. This is how I'm going to at least give an extent of how I feel the way that a certain situation went down and what WWE is planning on doing about it. Now, we all know of the situation between CM Punk, Colt Cabana, and the WWE and their lawsuit that they have. Well, actually, it's the Doctor that has the lawsuit with CM Punk and Colt Cabana. Now, after CM Punk left the company after Royal Rumble, there was speculation as to what actually led to his departure. Now, we know for a fact that he left because he was basically just tired of everything that was going on. He left after the Rumble in 2014. And basically, you know, without really mincing words, he went on The Art of Wrestling, which is Colt Cabana's podcast, and basically explained what had happened, the reason for his departure, his complaints against WWE's medical staff for refusal to treat some of his injuries. In particular, Dr. Chris Amon is the one that has the lawsuit against Punk and Cabana. In his words, they have used slanderous words towards him, and you know, the whole thing of it is they're trying to force Punk to waste money on legal fees. Punk definitely has it. Cabana does not. So it'll be interesting to see if CM Punk and WWE will be able to settle some type of an agreement. There's a lot of backstage rumors of, you know, who's CM Punk going to be in his next fight? Will he come back to the WWE? I don't even know. There's a lot of things that can happen. You know, they always say never in the WWE. I mean, we've had people return that I never thought would ever come back. Kurt Angle, the Ultimate Warrior, came back. Bret Hart. I never really thought that they would invite Jake the Snake back. You know, there's a lot of situations where Vince has sort of not necessarily forgiven, but he's put his you know, hatred aside for certain people and let bygones be bygones. Now, CM Punk had a 434-day reign from November 20th, 2011 to January 27th, 2013. It stands right now as the sixth longest of all time. Everybody wanted Punk to have the WWE Championship. Everyone was so, you know, avid about him being the champion. You know, he's the modern-day people's champion. And once he got it, after a while, people soured on it. For former World Heavyweight Champion, ECW Champion, Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champion, Intercontinental Champion, Triple Crown Champion of the WWE, 2011 Superstar of the Year. I mean, this guy's accolades, you know, go on for you know, it's a huge list. On September 10th, 2016, at UFC 203 against Mickey Gall, he lost via submission in the first round. Now, I personally commend the guy for even entering UFC to begin with. The only other person that's entered mixed martial arts that's actually succeeded is, of course, Brock Lesnar. I also believe, if I remember correctly, Bobby Lashley also had some successful matches. You know, there's been people that have gone from UFC, mixed martial arts, to wrestling, such as Dan the Beast Severn. You also had Ken Shamrock. And then, you know, boxing-wise, you had, of course, Floyd Money Mayweather transition into a match with Big Show. So, basically, what I'm getting at is, in my opinion, and a lot of people really are not okay with my opinion on this, but my personal opinion is CM Punk did not necessarily quit on WWE. In my opinion, WWE quit on CM Punk. Because it seems like in the last probably 10 years or so, when they've run out of ideas, when they've run out of something to do with a certain individual, whether the crowd and certain agents behind the scenes are behind them or not, they just pretty much lose interest and move on to the next thing. Now, I have nothing against Ryback. Did I particularly like Ryback? Not so much. Them wanting him to go over on CM Punk was, in my opinion, I wouldn't really call it an insult, but I'm like, you got a guy here who can have a good match with anyone. And when he faced Ryback, it did not matter who went against Ryback. It just didn't work. And it's nothing against Ryback as a performer. It's how they booked him. It's how things were booked in Ryback's favor. And, you know, they were wanting to go in a different direction. You know, of course, they had, you know, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins, you know, teaming up with CM Punk. And there's a lot of speculation as to why did they bring The Rock in to defeat CM Punk for the WWE Championship. Now, don't get me wrong, I love The Rock. I've always loved The Rock. He's always been a huge entertainment. You know, his matches have always been very good. His promos are you know, top notch. And when they had him come in and beat him, I was so pissed because of the fact that here you bring in a guy who is basically going to take the title off of someone who has had a record long title reign and has consecutively defended it successfully and was getting better and better with every single match, because that's who CM Punk is. He is truly the best in the world. He's the best on that microphone. He's the best at commentary. He's the best in that ring, no matter what you threw at this guy. Just like he said on his on his documentary, no matter what they threw at him, it was not even really of a challenge. It was, okay, let me do this. And he did every single damn time. He knocked it out of the park. Now, I don't blame CM Punk for being bitter. They've made a lot of really dumbass decisions even after he left. Look at the situation they have with Dolph Ziggler. This past Tuesday on SmackDown, he came out and basically said that the majority of the fans nowadays, they don't give a crap about someone's in-ring ability. All they care about is some flashy, glittery, over-the-top entrance gimmick. They could care less if the performer in the ring actually has any legit talent or not. He came out as John Cena. He came out as Macho Man. He also came out as Naomi. And he's trying to prove a point, because Dolph Ziggler is a hell of an in-ring performer. And the match that comes to mind is that he had at Survivor Series where he won the entire match and they didn't even capitalize on it. He's been an Intercontinental Champion, a World Heavyweight Champion, which, due to his concussion issue, was, of course, you know, the title was not very long reign whatsoever. And it really, there's a lot of things that have happened with people that have transitioned from NXT to the main roster. And fortunately enough, guys like Tyler Breeze has flourished with Fandango. Now, Bayley is a prime example. Sami Zayn is another example of, once they get to the main roster, it's as if WWE just kind of throws their hands up in the air and go, well, I don't really know what to do with you now. The biggest thing with Enzo Amore is Enzo is fire on the microphone. Are his in-ring skills really that great? Not so much, but he had big casts to back him up. So hopefully with this injury, which sucks on Big Cass's part, hopefully when they bring him back, they merge Enzo and Big Cass back together. And it really shocked me to the effect of neither one of them, you know, even in NXT, they did not even have a NXT tag team title run, let alone a SmackDown or Raw tag team championship run before they even split them up. You have the Wyatts. You have Bray Wyatt, who, where do I even begin? They took the title off of him. Randy Orton defeated him, which I think was a huge mistake. And then Jinder Mahal beat Randy Orton. Why did they have Bray hold it for that short amount of time and then have Randy come in and take it from him? Now, I've been a fan of Randy Orton. He's been accused of being very boring, same old crap, and that is true. Randy Orton has been booked the exact same way for years. Is it a successful way of booking Randy Orton? It is what it is. I'd say Orton's maybe got a couple more years on the roster before he retires. I mean, he's already accomplished plenty, so there's really no need. Bray Wyatt is one of those individuals who is a huge talent, always has been, and has been stuck in a situation where he does a promo, he has a match, he loses, and, you know, so far, you know, Braun Strowman has surprised me tremendously. Who would have thought that a guy that was brought in to be part of the Wyatts would flourish on his own and become one of the most dominant, most improved performers in the last couple years that I've ever seen? Samoa Joe is another prime example of someone who has won me over. I was not a fan of Samoa Joe in TNA. I was not a fan of Samoa Joe in NXT. Now, since they brought him to the main roster, and I've actually looked and focused on the matches that he's had, I can honestly say that the match that he was involved in with Brock Lesnar, the Fatal 4-Way match with himself, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, that match right there was awesome. It was intended to do exactly what it was supposed to do. Make Braun Strowman look super strong, super dominant. Make Samoa Joe look even better. And Roman Reigns, no matter how much you hate the guy, this program that he is going to, he's had with John Cena and the match that they're going to have, it's interesting to see what's going on with John, because he's been around for so long that he's the type of individual that, you know, like he said, even though I'm part-time, I'm doing a better job part-time than you ever could full-time. And John, whether you love him or whether you hate him, you have to respect him for his contributions to not only the wrestling world, but also to the community, to just everybody in general. He's, you know, such a giving and supportive person. He definitely knows that it's the fans that make him who he is. And on to another kind of a separate subject, Sasha Banks was interviewed by Sam Roberts, and the conversation was basically centered around the rumors that Sasha Banks has been a very standoffish person when it comes to fan interaction. And her words was, you know, if I'm at a show outside the arena, you can come up to me, take pictures, talk to me, autographs. But if I'm at an airport at 3 in the morning, if I'm coming into a hotel, if I'm eating lunch, don't do that kind of stuff. And Bully Ray is not the first person to say this, but it's one of those things where, you know, they're happy when people come and ask for their autographs. Be worried when people don't want them. And it kind of centers around that thing of, I don't know if it's necessarily wrestlers that have retired within the last 10 years, but I know a lot of professional wrestlers, they don't know how to cope with not being the center of attention, the being part of the spotlight, hearing the roar of the crowd, traveling and things like that. They don't know how to adjust to normal life because they never really had one once they entered professional wrestling. It was, you know, working out, going to shows, traveling, having matches, and that's pretty much what their life has been for the longest time. And a lot of them turn to drugs and alcohol to cope with those issues. Now, fortunately enough, there's been a lot of strives towards preventing this type of thing. WWE provides free rehab to anyone that has worked for the company, basically anyone that needs help. They have testing for drugs and steroids. They have testing for concussions and other injuries to avoid long-term effects of a lot of different issues that can happen. Also, they have programs where they are basically trying to grow their own stars. They bring them into the NXT developmental, and then, you know, from there on, you know, they groom them for the WWE style. Now, before I end this podcast, I want to kind of give a little bit of a update on what's going on with the Slamcast podcast. Now, I believe the last episode that I did was last month, and it's been a little while since I've done one. I will be cranking these out on a normal basis from now on. Dr. Nick has run into a creative block when it comes to material, and I'm over it. I'm back. I'm here to provide you with news, entertainment, and just tell you some really good stories. Check out the 90s Guy YouTube page on YouTube.com. All different types of content. Check out the Slamcast Facebook page for further updates. Check out other good shows on FNX.network. And I will see you all later.
This is FNX.
This is FNX.